This is All Things Considered on 90.1 WABE. I'm Dennis O'Hare. Earlier this month, a commission by the state legislature issued its latest report on human trafficking, expanding its focus from child sex trafficking to the broader issue, not just of child sex trafficking, but human trafficking for sex or labor, adults included. Last week, we spoke with Gwinnett County District Attorney Danny Porter, who is a member of the commission, but who also had some concerns about the data on which the study was based. Joining us now is Kirsten Widener. She is Director of Policy and Advocacy for the Barton Child Law and Policy Center at the Emory University School of Law. She testified before the commission and has done a lot of work studying this. Welcome. Good to have you.
Thank you so much.
Now, you heard a good bit of what D.A. Porter had to say. One of the things that he had to say, and we'll play a portion of it here, is the problem as bad as it is individually, is it as pervasive as it is? And here's what he had to say.
The fundraisers were based on 300 girls a month being forced into prostitution. Well, if you had that many people being forced into prostitution, that's 3,600 girls a year. You would get warning signs in your juvenile courts where you had delinquencies. You would get warning signs in your misdemeanor courts where people were being charged, where there'd be an uptick in prostitution arrests. So I don't believe that the extent of the problem can't be measured.
He says there would be warning signs, that we'd have much better evidence than we do about a very widespread problem.
Well, the whole reason this movement got started in Georgia to try and address this problem is because we did have these children showing up in our juvenile courts, and in particular in Fulton County Juvenile Court. The judges there noticed a pattern of kids coming before them for prostitution charges, and that's really when the attention on this issue started to develop. Unfortunately, one of the problems with the success of our advocacy is that fewer children are coming before the courts. Now, that's because we are treating them more appropriately as the victims that they are, but it takes away one of those warning signs that the DA mentioned that he'd be looking for. I agree with him, though. We do need better data. We've been reaching out to university partners. We would love to have some additional, more academic studies done. But this is an incredibly difficult population to count for a variety of reasons, both because of the underground nature of the criminal activity, but also because of the shame associated with being involved in the activity. It's similar to sexual abuse in that way. We see statistics range from 1 in 3 to 1 in 5 women have experienced some sort of sexual abuse in their life, and yet our reports of crimes, those cases don't show up in the courts at nearly that rate.
So you're saying that the problem is much more widespread than D.A. Porter believes that it is.
We have reason to believe that it is fairly widespread. Now, the exact numbers are difficult to figure out and obtain, but we know that we see a steady stream of referrals, for example, to our Georgia Care Connection office, which is the statewide system of care. They've confirmed at least 100 cases of sexual exploitation of children in the few years they've been working, and we know that that's only a drop in the bucket of the kids that are actually out there.
But if the problem is that widespread, we would start to see more, and especially since the new 2011 law was passed, we'd start to see more prosecutions, wouldn't we? Prosecutions not of the young sex workers, but prosecutions of the people who are trafficking them. And I asked D.A. Porter about that, and here's what he had to say about that.
I mean, I can tell you in Gwinnett, since 2011, we've made 2 sex trafficking cases. As far as I know, Fulton County hasn't made any. The federal authorities, despite all the resources that were put into that, have made 4 in Gwinnett County, and 3 of those have been labor servitude cases.
So either we have a widespread problem where we're not seeing the evidence via prosecutions, or we're seeing a widespread problem and the new law isn't helping very much? Or is there a third explanation for that in terms of going after the people who are actually doing the trafficking?
I think there's a third explanation, which is that the new law only went into effect on January 1st, 2011. So we've had just about 1.5 years of having this law in place. It takes a while to get law enforcement trained. It takes a while to build the cases on which to bring forward. And then additionally, again, these are not easy cases to find. And so there needs to be new law enforcement methods. We need more dedicated officers looking at this issue. And that is just something that is still in development.
One other thing that D.A. Porter said, and he used a term that he said had been given to him by people, and the question was, are there in fact some young people, maybe around 16, who are not acting as victims, who, and he didn't say this, but there was the implication that some of them are young entrepreneurs who aren't being trafficked at all, who are starting up, in effect, their own operations. And he used the term, I think it was self-exploited. Just wanted to get your response to that. Do we have some kids who are more sophisticated than we want to think that kids are, who, at least it sounded like in his view, aren't the traditional kinds of victims that we think of?
You can't look at the situation from the surface and know what's really going on there. I think in the story that District Attorney Porter told, there was a young girl who had two bodyguards who were collecting money. I'd want to know more about those relationships. I don't know that case individually, but very often that's the role that a pimp does play, is as bodyguard and enforcer and collector of money. And so I think without really looking under the surface of how it appears, these are not children who self-identify as victims. They're not going to tell you they're being victimized. And so we can't just look at the surface of the issue and make the determination. But Dennis, even if a child is choosing in some way to participate in this activity, we have to keep a couple of things in mind. First is that we don't give children the legal capacity to make choices about sexuality before a given age. But secondly, if a child is entering into this conduct in some sort of voluntary way, there's something else that's going wrong. This is not a choice that healthy teens make. And frankly, I think that a closer look at the family situation and the circumstances that child is in is warranted any time we see this behavior going on.
The study commission talked about everything from publishing the names of traffickers, publishing the names of adults who are charged under this new law from 2011, all the way to, as you mentioned, more law enforcement training and that sort of thing. Are you happy with the recommendations that they came up with? Or are there some that you would like to see included that weren't?
You know, Georgia has really been a leader in responding to the issue of human trafficking. So we've got a really solid base of laws to support both the victims and prosecutions. The real problem that I see is more on the implementation side. We really need the training. We need people on the ground. And so I think it's less about laws. When it comes to the recommendations that the study committee made, I thought they did a great job of looking very carefully at where some of the gaps in our existing laws are. And they're not huge ones, but they are good recommendations that they've made to help us fill some of those gaps, particularly in effectively responding to the victims.
Isn't part of the problem, and this is putting it a bit crudely, but isn't part of the problem money? It's not just training. You can train as many people as you like, but if they're not able, because of funding, to do the job, then we have a problem. I talked to the GBI, and they have actually had to, because this is a focus, they've had to divert resources from other things to do this, which raises the question of how can they do all of these jobs?
That's absolutely right. And all of our law enforcement agencies across the state are under budget pressure given the financial situation that we've been in for a number of years now. And so it is, I think that you had made the comment to District Attorney Porter about a little bit of a chicken and the egg problem, right? Mm-hmm. We need better proof of the issue that we've got in order to be more effective in building our prosecutions. And at the same time, we need those prosecutions and that hard work by our law enforcement agencies in order to be able to get the numbers that'll really be verifiable.
I've spoken with a number of people on the prosecution side, and not one of the ones that I have spoken to has said that he or she would prosecute somebody under 16 as a criminal in the case, that they would treat them as victims, even though the law still lets them prosecute somebody that young. Have you heard anything different from anyone that you've spoken to?
Our office takes some delinquency cases in DeKalb County, and we have had children come in on prosecution charges around age 16. I'm trying to remember if we've had anybody under 16, and I'm not able to think of somebody right off the top of my head. But we have heard anecdotally of cases across the state. Partly, though, I think we have had a huge shift here in Georgia. When we first started focusing on this issue, there were children being charged back in 1999, back in 2000. Now our courts are better educated, our prosecutors are better educated about the nature of the issue, and they are trying to focus on a more victim-centered response to the crime and really focus their prosecution resources on the offenders.
We've talked mostly about children as victims, mm-hmm. again, and this report includes them, but it also expands to the abuse of adults for sex or labor. Do we really have any better numbers with that?
No. The short answer is no. We have a problem nationwide with trying to count human trafficking victims, so this is not a problem that's unique to Georgia. However, the State Department has identified it as a true area of concern. We know there are cases, but trying to put a number on something so hidden has been extremely difficult.
So do we have a law here or efforts to pass laws that look good on paper and may even be effective if they had the mechanisms to make them work, but they're not going to work because there isn't the wherewithal or the resources to do it?
Well, you know, as a legislative and policy advocate, I tell my students that we have to focus on not just passing the right laws, but on effectively implementing them. And I think that we're still pretty early in that implementation process. And unfortunately, it occurred during one of the worst economic crises Georgia has faced. And so I think it's too early to say that it's an ineffective response. I think that Georgia is doing all the right things and that we are well positioned as we move into the economic recovery or move further into the economic recovery to make a real difference on this issue. And frankly, with this small amount of resources that are available, we've taken some huge steps. The Georgia Care Connection Office was the first statewide system of care to respond to victims in the country. That's a huge thing that we've been able to do already, and they're already helping children. And so I think that we shouldn't underestimate the value of the response that we've taken so far just because it hasn't gone as far as we'd like it to yet.
Do we have any data, though, to show that the word is getting to the victims, who are the key to some of the enforcement mechanisms in the 2011 law? Are victims now feeling safer that they can come in and help the authorities go after the people who are trafficking them?
Well, one of the recommendations of the study commission for this year is to help put some more information out to victims, so directly targeting the victims with a help and assistance line. And I think that that's a huge step in the right direction to make sure that the victims not only have access once they do come to the attention of law enforcement, but have a way to reach out before that. The study commission also really focused on prevention in some of the recommendations, which I think is really where we need to be going in terms of this issue. We need to be providing better responses to early events that could lead to human trafficking so that we can stop this horrible violation from ever occurring.
The other part of it is, of course, then, is the word getting out to the people who are doing the trafficking? Are we seeing any signs that they are feeling in any way, well, I'll go somewhere else to do this, that they feel threatened at all by this tougher law or by whatever we might come up with as a result of the latest study?
Well, folks who track, for example, online postings that suggest human trafficking, and obviously they're not quite that blatant, but the folks who monitor those online postings notice that after Craigslist, for example, responded to community pressure to remove their adult services section, that we saw a significant drop in the number of postings being placed. Now, that could in part be a diffusion to other sites, but the harder they become to find, hopefully the less traffic you'll see. Similar efforts to put pressure on different websites where these things do get posted have seen some similar trends. So I think there is a response out there, that there's an awareness that they're being watched and that there is going to be a response if they're too obvious.
And whether it's adult abuse or child sex abuse, are we seeing at all the kinds of law enforcement efforts it would take to go after the customers?
Our federal enforcement agents are doing a terrific job of really mounting concerted efforts to find and sort of root out and prosecute human traffickers, particularly at the adult and international level. Our state law enforcement efforts have really been strengthened with the new powers that have been given to GBI and the their renewed focus on the issue. And certainly lots of our local law enforcement, particularly here in the metro area, have gotten really focused on this issue and have been trying to educate themselves and really make a difference. So I think that we'll start to see those efforts paying off as we move through the coming years.
Because, again, we've seen a lot of talk and a lot of focus, but not very many cases.
I think we need to not just be looking at prosecutions under the trafficking laws. I think that a lot of these cases come in with different configurations. So some of these cases may be prosecuted as statutory rape, for example. They may be prosecuted under enticing a child for indecent purposes. There's a range of related crimes that need to be looked at in constellation to see if we're really making a difference. It may be that the law enforcement agency doesn't have the evidence they need to prove trafficking per se, but they can prove related activities. And one of the efforts that the Barton Center has been involved in partnership with the Governor's Office for Children and Family is arming prosecutors with tools to help them recognize those related crimes and build cases even if the evidence doesn't exactly add up to meet the legal standard for trafficking.
So bottom line, are we making any progress in actually helping and finding victims of either child sex trafficking or adult human trafficking for sex and other things?
I'm most familiar with our efforts on the child side, right, because that's what my organization focuses on. And in that area, I would say that I can't overstate the victory that is the 100 victims that have been served by the Georgia Care Connection Office. You know, they've had 500 referrals. Many of those may be unverified victims of sexual exploitation, but at least 100 of them are verified victims. That's huge. That's more than we had served in many years before that office came online. And I don't think it's because we didn't have the problem. We've gone from having one shelter with 6 beds that could help provide restorative services to children to having a network of providers that can provide services either in the child's community, if that's appropriate, or in a safe house setting, if that's what the child needs. And that difference and the individual children who are being served, who I have had the pleasure to meet and respond to, any one of those children that we can serve is a huge victory. And the number that we've reached and the increase in the reach and the scope that we've made over the years is incredibly valuable. And we shouldn't lose sight of that just because we don't have the academic rigorous studies of the numbers that we want yet.
So will the work of this commission, even with the debate among some of the members about what we're dealing with, will the work actually result in something that you think will be more effective than what we already have?
I think that this set of recommendations is very strong. And I think even with the disagreement about data, District Attorney Porter was a great participant in that commission. I think he's on board with the recommendations. That was my understanding with the recommendations of the committee. And I think that they're all good steps forward. I think some of the most important steps in that commission report are things like addressing child sexual abuse, so that we can really target prevention, both of people becoming victims. But one of the most interesting studies that I've seen is that a lot of traffickers were sexually abused as children to begin with. And so I think if we can start addressing child sexual abuse prevention and responding appropriately to children who have been abused when that happens, then we're going to go a long way to making a huge difference in this issue moving forward.
Kirsten Widener is Director of Policy and Advocacy for the Barton Child Law and Policy Center at the Emory University School of Law. Thanks so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Dennis.